Hello, this is Neil Cowley. If you've listened to my programme, Neil and Dud, The Other Side of Dudley Moore, and are interested in the clips from the original tape recording of Dud with Jazz FM founder Dave Lee, then you're in the right place. The interview you're about to hear was recorded at the piano in 1990, Jazz FM's launch year, and broadcast Christmas that year. It's not seen the light of day since. Enjoy.
Dudley Moore. Dudley, welcome.
I've got to go now, Dave. This is too much of a...
You see, the last time we met, you were still playing the piano. Then I knew you went to New York. But, well, in the vernacular, how do you keep your chops together? How do you keep your hands
going?
Well,
I play most days now. I mean, I haven't actually played for the last couple of weeks because I haven't really had a piano around. I should take a keyboard because there's no doubt that, you know, the old chops do go a little strangely rubbery after one day, you know.
Yeah.
And it's really rather embarrassing when you get back to it, but there we are.
I mean, I felt sorry. I saw you on the Johnny Carson show, and he invited you to play. And I thought, I wonder if Dudley's been playing the piano. I was nervous for you, but it seemed to work out all right. So
yeah.
I guess you must have practiced it.
I can't. I mean, I'm not really. I'm practicing all sorts of stuff that are not really to do with jazz. I mean, I do play jazz. I do play a lot of.
I've noticed. But are you still playing it, or are you going moving? I heard someone told me that you're going to do some classical recitals.
I've been doing classical recitals. I've been doing them for the last few years, actually.
And, have you really?
Yeah, I've been playing the Beethoven Triple Concerto, which is about the only thing in my repertoire, actually, because I played it with Robert Mann, who's a violinist, and Nathaniel Rosen, who's a cellist, and then I played it with Itzhak Perlman and Yo-Yo Ma, a very distinguished company.
I should say.
But I think they just want to see Arthur fall off his seat. You know, will he get through it, sort of thing.
Yeah.
So that's been happening, and I've been doing my own little sort of jazz studies, I suppose. You
know? That's the point. I mean, that's what I want to ask. I mean, how are you playing this? What are you into these days? I mean, are you influenced by Cecil Taylors and people who...
I'm not really. I'm very much a traditionalist. I'm almost ashamed to say. I'm not really I don't really know enough about the original stuff, you know, which is something I shouldn't really admit in these precincts. But there's a guy called Timothy Owens who did a study of Charlie Parker in the States, and he transcribed practically everything that Parker wrote,
and he perfectly
broke it down into about 180 motifs, and said, well, he uses 17 or 18 of these pretty much all the time. He actually had the numbers of times that these motifs were used, and I found it fascinating because I've never studied jazz that way, and I should have studied it. Well, I don't know. When I listen to your playing, it sounds like either you've picked it up. I mean, how did you study? Did you transcribe things? Did you listen to things?
I never. I listened, of course, and tried to play like people, but I never really studied it. I mean, I never bought books of five solos by Teddy Wilson, which I used
see.
Because
right.
I couldn't play them, actually. The reason I could only play what I played.
I came from a different sort of background, you know, reading and stuff.
Well, when I first met you, you were at Oxford, was it?
Yeah.
Oxford University,
yeah.
and you were playing very good. You were playing like Errol Garner.
Well, I was playing, yeah.
Really?
I don't think it pleased the band at all. They were really absolutely teed off with me. I used to get these dirty looks from people in the band. Oh, God, there he goes again. Because I didn't know some of the basic backings. I mean, in the end, I didn't back at all because I thought, I don't know what to play. I got a bit gun-shy, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And John said to me, are you not pushing the rhythm section at all? I said, well, I don't know what to play anymore. Everybody hates what I play. So it was inevitable, I suppose, that I got into trio work because then I didn't have to answer them.
In any case, I mean, the band wants you to play like the piano players that they've heard on the bands that they used to listen to. So you've either got to play like Count Basie or Duke Ellington. And if you don't...
Or Bud Powell,
that's right.
Yeah. I remember we went over when I first started, had my first band job in about 58 or 59. I think it was with Vic Lewis, and we went over to the States, and we played, I think, in a lot of military camps, you know, in exchange for maybe Stan Kenton. We were sort of the Stan Kenton replacement over there, which was not totally fair, but it was an interesting experience.
You had to play like Stan Kenton. You were the Stan Kenton in the band, in other words.
Well, yes, but I didn't play like... I can't imagine what I played like. In fact, I get far too nervous playing. I think that's probably what stopped me from doing, you know,
but
really
why?
Taking it.
I mean, why do you get nervous?
I don't know.
You don't do anything. You certainly don't come across as nervous, that's for sure.
Well, I get very sort of... I get very, I'm not very relaxed at certain tempos and stuff, and I get very, very shy of it all. But
yes. Well, mind you, listen, Oscar Peterson told me that when Tatum used to come in the room, he had a clause in his contract that allowed him to stop playing. So
he said
I was beyond nervous.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yes.
You're kidding.
Yes, he said.
That is so strange when you think of the competence and the fluency and whatever.
I
transcribed a lot of Peterson, actually. You know, in recent years, in the last couple of years, I got a real thing about learning about bebop, which I'd never really learned about, I'm ashamed to say. I hadn't learned about it in a formal way. And I found these two huge tomes by Timothy Owens, this guy in California. And they were very exhaustive and exhausting. But I found myself doing some transcriptions of Peterson and studying the sort of things he did and the things he elected to do and the things he omitted out of Parker's.
Of course, he has these giant hands, you see. That's to start with. I mean, makes the piano look like a typewriter when he plays on it.
The main thing is just that he's very limber and he's very, you know...
Oh, yes.
He plays very slowly, as he's always saying in his books that you never get, of course.
Are there any piano players around that you find yourself drawn to more in jazz, that is, than the older school, Oscar, etc.?
I mean, I still, you know, I don't listen that much to music of any sort, as a matter of fact, because I'm mainly playing, and I guess if you consume with playing, you tend to...
Oh, sure.
You know,
you're a lucky man if you can be mainly playing. I mean, that's great. And what are you playing? Are you playing mainly classical music?
Well, I play a lot of classical music. I'm trying to learn the 48 Preludes and Fugues. I'd love to do a recording of those at some point. I'm trying to learn them by heart. I'm learning more things by heart than I ever did. Practicing in a different way, practicing much more slowly.
Well, I didn't practice classical music because I had the unfortunate situation that I was invited to hear Vladimir Horowitz play.
Oh.
And having heard, and that was when I was about 16, so that must have been one of his occasional appearances in England. And I decided that classical music is not really for me. I think I'm a much better jazz pianist than... I saw the impossible being done before my eyes, and I thought if that's the standard that's required, I couldn't get near it.
Well, I think it needs a lot of application, maybe you just didn't have the time to devote to that.
No,
sort
I was
of...
I was interested in those days in cricket, girls and jazz, in that order.
In that order, in cricket, that order. Girls and jazz.
But it slowly became... Girls, jazz, and cricket.
Yeah, yes.
And then it ended up just girls.
Just girls, yes. Sort of pathetic, but true, I'm
yes,
afraid.
Yes, I mean, that's the story of all our lives,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, that's the only reason why jazz is played in the... is because it's this sort of visceral art.
Yes, it is. I like that word, visceral. That's a good word for this time of day.
I agree.
Yeah, I got a feeling you're coming back to the piano. That's what
I
I'm
am,
hearing.
Actually.
That's the message
yeah,
I'm getting.
I am, as a matter of fact. And I just did a television series with George Shulte, as a matter of fact, on the instruments of the orchestra, the orchestra, how it began and why, and the history and the music. And that was fascinating, I must say, because you hear somebody like Shulte practice, and of course he was a concert pianist before he was a conductor, and he practices very, very slowly, he listens very hard.
Yes.
And I must say I got some very good insight into just the degree of patience and ploddingness that one has to...
Yes,
devote
I know, it's
to
very
stuff.
Hard. Who was it? I remember a pianist I met who knew Rachmaninoff, and he was hearing him practice the Chopin etudes, and he said he was going so slowly that you wouldn't believe it was real. You would think he was kidding.
I know. I remember going to the Van Cliburn Piano Foundation, a piano competition, and all these young blokes, God let them rot in hell, about 18 or something, you know, playing the hell out of these instruments. And there was one guy who was playing... a Chopin study, and it was really very slow. I thought, I guess that's maybe the way to do it, is just to remind your fingers of where they should be.
That's right.
And that's all you need to do, I guess.
Well, it's pretty tough. You've got to get your muscles straight and your balance right and your breathing right and everything else right.
Yeah.
Whereas when you play jazz...
Everything goes to pot.
Yes, it doesn't really matter quite as long as you can get out what you're hearing in your head. I mean, I can't imagine Bud Powell ever in his life attempting... an etude of Chopin or anything like that. I mean, whether he could have played or not, it wouldn't have worried him at all.
No, I don't...
Though I am told that Tatum played back to Horowitz. Once I was going to write a book called The History of Art, and I still want to do it, about the life story, a biography of Art Tatum, and I did do a bit of research, and that was one of the things he did do for Horowitz, who asked him if he could teach him how to play T for Two. And... he couldn't, because he sat and played it for 4 hours, as ever, but no one but Horowitz couldn't pick it up. I don't know why. The guy just didn't swing. But then Horowitz played him the 48 of Bach.
Oh, really?
Mm. And he then, for Horowitz, played T for Two like a fugue. And apparently it was an astonishing performance. And Horowitz phoned up Rachmaninoff and said, come round and listen to this. That's the story I get, but I don't know whether it's true because there's so many myths and things about Art Tatum that you never know what to believe.
Do you have favourite pianists that you've been influenced by particularly?
Yeah, well, I mean, yes, but it's the usual ones who are around as you develop. Yeah. I mean, I was the last piano player who I was influenced by, I suppose, was Oscar Peterson. But before that, it was Teddy Wilson, and it was Art Tatum, and it was Fats Waller, and James P. Johnson, and all these guys. But it's gone back to Art Tatum at the moment. I've just been sent a record, a wonderful record of Art Tatum playing in a private house. And it's so astonishing that you forget just how astonishing that fellow is.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, what do you do? When you live in Los Angeles?
Live in Los Angeles, and most days I play the piano. I mean,
you don't go out much to listen to it, or
I don't know. There's not a great deal. I mean,
do you have soirees at home?
Soirees.
That's another good word.
No, I don't actually. I'm not leading the life of a recluse, but I don't really go out and do any of this stuff.
So you're not really leading that. You just are leading the life of a recluse. I mean, you're in.
Well, I mean,
a piano is a lonely art form, man.
You get on that piano and you stick in there for four hours, and you feel like a zombie afterwards. Yeah. You know, there's no doubt. You just can't talk to anybody. And
that's right. But it's necessary if you want to be good at the instrument. That's
well,
what kills
you've just got to be. You've just got to devote the time. I remember reading a little book by Joseph Hoffman, who was
Governor.
Yeah. He was talking about the amount of time that you have to play the piano. You know, he said you've got to play when you're first starting, maybe 6 or 7 hours a day, just to do the repetition, to keep doing it. You know, and they said, I don't know how you can do less. A lot of people, I think, probably do much less after a time, and I'm sure he did after a while.
Oh yes, he started drinking, but he could still play good.
Really? I
mean, yeah.
Well, did he? Oh.
Mm. But he could still play amazingly well, like Fats Waller. You know, there are some people who can play drunk or sober, and he was fortunately one of those.
Yeah.
He wasn't like Arthur.
No, Arthur couldn't, I don't think, do too much.
he was not too hot. He could not do good with the Beethoven. After a few. But, I mean, are you going to... Are you considering doing a series of concerts here in England, Britain?
Well, I don't know what I'm... I mean, I've come to that stage in my life where I think, oh, well, I can't do this anymore. I can't do that anymore. I've got to do this. I don't feel like doing what I've done, you know, for the last 2 years, 10 years.
Well, 10 years is a long time.
It does feel a long time, and I'm sort of really a little baffled as to what I should do.
Well,
I know that I want to play the piano more.
Yeah. Well, you've got to play some jazz. I mean, you mustn't give up jazz just because you're playing classical music 4 hours a day. You've got to also spend 1 hour a day.
Oh, I do. There's certain phrases that I've been trying since 1953 or something to play, you know, certain things of Garner that he does and all sorts. I mean...
See, Garner didn't... I met Errol Garner and I had a talk with him at one point. He was a charming man.
But you were never really taken.
He was more interested in my hay fever than he was in talking about jazz, actually. He was the most natural piano player I think I've ever met in my life.
Yeah.
He didn't even know what key he was playing in. You could point to a note and say, start there. And he would play anything in any key because he wasn't aware that there were complications attached to
it. I think that if you analyze his stuff, I mean, you can see that, in a sense, you're playing by numbers, you know, to a certain extent. There still must have been an enormous amount of musicality there because,
oh man,
you know, you only have to...
Listen to him play a ballad if you want to know about the musicality.
I mean, you know, when he started doing that sort of slow swing and all the octave stuff, I mean, it was really sort of dazzling. And yet he obviously found it a very natural sort of thing to do.
Yeah, very natural. That's what he was. He was like joined to the piano. It became another part of the piano. He was so at home there. Errol Garner saw himself as some sort of an entertainer who just sat down, and he had this incredible octave. His arms could go up and down.
Yeah, I think he used to. I mean, somebody described him as a one note sort of improviser. You know, one finger.
And yes, and all the others go with it. Yeah.
I mean, if you actually, that was the speed he did this octave passage. Yes. And if you think you're doing all of that with your thumb, it sort of becomes a little hair-raising.
That's right. He had such dark brown chords. Did you ever notice
that?
Yeah,
well, you know, they're all
Do you know
of...
where they are? You can play, because don't worry if you want to play something, because the piano, the mic's on, I think. It doesn't matter if it isn't.
It doesn't matter if it isn't, but he uses, I mean, like most musicians, he uses that ninth sound a lot. But he does play in the flat keys a lot, either D flat.
Yes, I noticed that. Plays Honeysuckle Rose in D flat.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when he plays, they can't take that away from me on Concert by the Sea. It's in D flat, and he often, I don't know. There is a great richness, but it's partly due to the way he actually puts the keys down.
Yeah.
But it's a fact. He's very nervous of doing just a regular chord. He does very deep chords.
Yes.
And he's very fond of. You know, if he plays a diminished chord, he'll always play.
Yes, yes,
you know,
yes.
It's always that.
There's only one bit you missed out with his. Yeah.
The speed at which he plays is really rather.
And what about the way he sits? He sits on. You know, he's always standing up.
I've tried to emulate, you know, things he does with his right hand, because his hands are almost dropping onto the keys.
That's
from,
right.
You know.
So I don't know why he bothers to sit down. He might as well just stand up and lean, have a leaning board or something. Because when I first went to see him at the Festival Hall and I saw this piano stool with four telephone books or whatever it is, I thought, is he a dwarf? And he wasn't. He just sits up there.
Yeah.
Straight.
I think he liked to. I don't know what advantage. I tried to. I thought, what is he doing? Is he caught? What is he? You know, it was very hard to transcribe some of the stuff, which I did. Bits and pieces that I.
Why do you transcribe it? So you can get inside
so
it
can,
more, or so you can read it and then play it.
Yeah, so that I can.
Perfectly.
I mean, for instance, there's a piece in Where or When. I'll play it at a slower speed. He does that at 69 beats a minute, which is really fast.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I can't do it now.
I know what you mean.
And there's no faltering. And I don't know how he does it. Now, I've tried to do it standing up, you know,
I don't think it'll help.
And I don't know that it helps. If you think more of your thumb than you do what the rest of your hand is playing, you've got a chance of doing it.
But while he's doing that, remember, he's looking around and smiling at the
audience.
Yes. He doesn't even care about what's going on.
Nuts.
I mean, he used to fascinate me that.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of these jazz pianists. Earl Hines never looked at what he did, ever.
Yeah.
And these guys, and they're flashing around the keyboard. And then, I mean, Oscar actually sits like a concert pianist and plays. But the other side of it is that John Dankworth, whom we both know so well, is raving still about a record you did with Cleo, just you and her. I have never heard this record.
Exactly. Oh, the I'm Smiling looking... Through record, then. It must be the one that we did.
Like, it's called Irish Folk Songs, is that? Smiling.
Well, it was, you know, that lovely tune. Was it?
Yes. Yes, I do.
And I think we did that on the record. It was just a song that I actually
great one.
Loved.
Yes,
it's
a good
sweet
tune. I've never thought of that tune. Do you like accompanying? Is that part of
I love accompanying singers, yeah. As a matter of fact, I was talking to Peggy Lee about doing something. I've always wanted to accompany Peggy Lee, maybe, you know, certainly when she was well known here. But I've always had that. She thought she'd met me. She said, I met you in a. It was like one of those things. I met you at the backstage at some Paris club. I said, no, I don't. I don't think so. I think it must have been another short, dark English person.
Yes.
Which was sort of rather shame. Sometimes the people you really love, you never actually get to meet.
No.
I mean, I've met Oscar a few times, and I've always, you know, genuflected dutifully and of course, quite willingly to his playing.
I'm surprised you don't have these guys up to your house. I mean, you're right there where they are. Don't you want to pick up the telephone and say...
Well, I suppose I should. Actually, I ran into Pete Jolly. Do you remember Pete
Jolly?
Yes, great pianist.
Great piano player.
And he happened to be playing at a place where Brogan and I have a house. And so it was sort of nice, actually, running into him. I did run into Garner once. I only met him... I never actually met him. I never spoke to him. But he came down to the establishment club where I was playing. And I so wanted to impress him. What a prig I was, you know. P-R-I-G, chaps.
Yes.
That I spilt a bottle of Coca-Cola on the keyboard. So about this area was all stuck with Coca-Cola. So I had to play either side. It was terrible.
Yes.
And he was looking at me. I thought, I do want him to be impressed. And then I looked up again and he was gone. So obviously I either didn't impress him or depressed him or something. I don't know.
there's this whole milieu of jazz piano, and you say, I know what jazz piano is about. It's about playing. And then a guy comes along and starts all over again, like Bill Evans comes along out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And suddenly it's like there was a whole room that no one ever knew existed in the house that you've lived in all your life. And suddenly he says, no, this room's been here all the time. And he comes in and suddenly and everyone's starting to go into this room now.
Yeah,
I mean, I love Bill Evans, incidentally. I didn't mention it, but he's a particular. I love the way he plays.
I'm not a great fan. I mean, I almost blush to say I'm not a great fan of modern modern jazz. I'm really not, or modern music, whatever that term really means. But I find it just so unlyrical, untender,
unswinging. What do you do? How do you get going on the? I mean, when you come down the piano in the morning, and then
I come down and I play some Bach. I always play Bach.
I think he would have been a great jazz musician, actually. I hate.
Well,
to say
he
it,
would have been because he based his writing on motives too,
and it was improvised. Some of it. You know, he would because he had so little time to write some things that he just used to get him down rather like a jazz musician.
Yeah, and people used to say to him, "Why? How is it you can do this sort of stuff?" And he said, "Well, if you did it as much as I did, I'm sure you could."
Yeah.
I mean, the modesty of the man was really rather staggering.
Yes. It's like Art Tatum said to Lenny Felix, the jazz piano player. He said, "There's no problem playing. Then there's just notes, man. Just push them down in the right order, and it all comes out fine."
I'm sure it's all a matter of application and practice. I mean, not just that. You have to have the talent, of course.
Listen, I'm very glad that that for a time that there is no that you're not thinking in terms of carrying on the career of film actor, and that you're coming back to the piano, because I'm hoping one day we're going to get you in here to play some piano.
I mean, I'm in a constant state of preparation these days. All I'm doing is preparing. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm taking time off to basically play, and I must say I find it very. I don't feel prepared. I don't feel at all prepared.
No.
You know?
And you like? I mean, you don't like just going on and sitting down and just playing.
Oh, I'd love it. I love it. You know, it's very hard for me to keep my hands off this instrument.
Well, go on then. Play one before we go.
I can't really play.
Play a blues.
I'll play maybe a chord. I haven't played for so.
Play a tune. You don't need. Play a good tune.
Play a good tune. I've got to find a good tune though. What good tunes are there? Oh, I don't know. Soon, I love.
That's lovely. In fact, there's a good verse to that, which I can't see how it goes.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I like things like Nobody Else But Me, that last tune that Jerome Kern wrote, which is quite fascinating. Some incredible tunes around.
I just don't know that many. I mean, my repertoire is shrinking, as most other things are.
Well, I'm very sad to hear that.
Yeah. Dropping off. But I don't know. I find it fascinating to... I mean, the transcriptions I did of Oscar and things like that. Mm. I mean, it's really quite fascinating to see... what he does.
Yes,
know.
I would love to see those.
Yeah, I carry them around with me. I've got them, you know, everywhere I go.
I'd love to have a look at that. As long as you transcribe it for fun, but keep your own thing going without...
Oh, yeah, I do. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I do that is much more me in many senses.
Yes. Anyway, listen, Dudley, I'm pleased to hear you're getting your chops in they're back to their sparkling
best.
Well,
they are back, but they're not right now. After
well,
2 weeks, it's
amazing. It didn't sound bad to me. Well, now listen, when you come back, this Jazz FM is where you live, really. I mean,
this is where I live. This is where
you live.
I'm
We've
told.
Got some good records inside. Come in, have a ball, and I hope maybe we'll organise a jazz concert, two pianos, battle of the pianos.
Yes, yes.
And I'll get my chops together. I'll have to start practicing again. Yes, you've got me at it again.
It feels like, you know, it's funny. You stop playing for a couple of days and your hands basically are like marshmallow.
I haven't played for 3.5 months. I don't know what I'm going to find out when we're just going to look at one another.
It's sort of terrifying, isn't it, when you start playing. You think, what is this noise coming out?
It's frightening. But anyway, listen, Dud, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming by. And fun. I only hope that you do make this your second home whenever you're in town.
Well, I only hope that I do.
You're on. Thank you.